And hello, guys. Welcome to the Sportscast. October 23rd, 2018, Alabama rolls through Tennessee before their bye week, before the big game against LSU in Baton Rouge. What will happen? Anyways, to talk to us a little bit about what happened this past weekend and moving forward is Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
And glad to be back. Thanks for having me for yet another week in this exciting college football season, especially to talk about my Alabama Crimson Tide.
So this past weekend, everyone, you know, was talking about, will Tua play? Will he not? Will it be a Jalen, Hurts game? What happened?
Well, to be honest with you, I was asking that question myself leading into this game. It was a very viable question, given that there was some mystery around Tua's knee and just how good was it. I would not have been a bit surprised to have seen him sit during this game in favor of Jalen Hurts, because Jalen was very capable of handling the offense, guiding it, leading it, and has done so in the past, as proven by his 28-2 record. But nonetheless, Tua did get the start, played the entire first half in a series in the second half. And as always, he was electric. 19 of 29, 306 yards, 4 touchdowns, and just did not look like he's a person ailing from a knee injury. Now, there was a little bit of a scare on that last series of the third quarter. He got just thwacked by a Tennessee linebacker. However, he did manage to throw a 45-yard touchdown to a streaking Henry Ruggs. So it kind of caused us to gasp a little bit, but he popped back up and walked back to the sidelines and thankfully remained on the bench the rest of the game in favor of Jalen Hurts and then eventually Mac Jones. Now, Jalen did play a little bit his first series out. Came a little bit of misfortune. Pass was tipped in the air, and it was called by a defensive line for Tennessee and took back for a pick six. However, the next series, Jalen shook it off, completed several passes for first downs, and capped the drive off with a rushing touchdown. Jalen would not return because of that last touchdown. He had a high ankle sprain, but he will be okay going into LSU game. And as always, you know, it was the Tua show, going back to Mr. Tagovailoa, accompanied by his cast of amazing wide receivers. Now, Devontae Smith was out this game due to injury sustained in the Missouri game, so Jalen Waddle, the very electric freshman from Houston, Texas, came in place, and boy, did he not skip a beat. 4 receptions, 117 yards, and 1 touchdown. And right behind him was Jerry Jeudy, 5 receptions for 72 yards and 1 touchdown. And, man, I'm going to tell you right now, Jerry Jeudy is looking more impressive every single week. The man is sick. I don't even think the guy is human just because of some of the moves that he is executing against defenders. And Henry Ruggs III had 3 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. Irv Smith Jr., sophomore tight end, 5 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. Just the offense was hitting on all cylinders. Didn't really have a big day rushing. Speaking of rushing, Josh Jacobs got the start over Damian Harris and Najee Harris. And he came out playing inspired and like a man who just won a starting battle. 12 carries, 68 yards. 2 touchdowns and contributed a little bit in the passing game as well. So offensively, Ty did not miss a beat in this game. Matter of fact, on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of good stuff happened in that game. Deontay Thompson had 7 tackles. Xavier McKinney had 5 tackles, had 1 sack and a forced fumble, which led to the Crimson Tide's 2nd touchdown. Isaiah Bugs did not play in the first half of the game. Saban held him out because of his little fighting incident in the Missouri game. Quinnen Williams was still the beast for a second week in a row. Just was throwing people around like they were rag dolls. One thing of note, linebacker Mack Wilson took out Tennessee quarterback Garantano with a massive hit. Some people question it may have been a targeting call, but it was not. Damaged the quarterback's collarbone. He would not return. Grad transfer from Stanford, Keller Chris, came in, and matter of fact, he looked a whole lot better than Garantano did, not only in that game, but pretty much his whole career, which leads me to question, why was this guy not starting to begin with? But the defense continued their dominant ways, holding Tennessee to negative 2 yards rushing the entire day. One other little cool thing of note, our struggling punter woes seemed to stop as we had DeLong replaced by walk-on punter Mike Bernier, who averaged 41 yards a punt when we actually did punt, which wasn't very often in this game. The cool thing about him was he was a walk-on who transferred back to Alabama because his mom had been diagnosed with cancer and he wanted to be closer to her. So this was an amazing moment for that young man. But very, very happy to see Alabama get off to that fast start. 28-0 first quarter. Any appearance of a letdown this game was quickly destroyed with 28-0 in the first quarter, of course. It looks like they were dialed in, were not looking ahead to LSU, had a point to prove, and just demolished Tennessee and this historic rivalry for our 12th year in a row, 58-21.
No team in the country has been more efficient than Alabama. But Saturday's start against Tennessee was impressive, even by the Tide's sky-high standard. It only took 21 offensive plays for Alabama to score 4 touchdowns, taking a 28-0 lead against the Vols and cruising to a 58-21 win. It's the most points scored by Alabama in this rivalry and continue Nick Saban's undefeated run against the Vols here on the third Saturday in October. How do you view this win? Was this one of the biggest wins, even though, you know, yes, it's a big, you know, weak team, but, you know, compared to the other ones like Missouri or Citadel, how would you rank this win?
Well, it's definitely a big win to Alabama fans and Alabama standards. Anytime you can go into a historic rivalry game and beat your rival 58-21, it's quite a big deal. And say what you will about records and stats and whatnot, albeit Tennessee was the weaker team and a team in transition, it's still pretty amazing to be able to go in there and just handle your rival the way they did. Matter of fact, this game marks as the highest points Alabama's ever scored against Tennessee in the series, and also the highest point total ever scored against a Tennessee team in Neyland Stadium. So that was a pretty big deal. I think this was a great game in regards to tune-up and preparation for the LSU game. It was really remarkable to see the players were dialed in for the majority of the game. Some may argue at points during the game that the team got a little complacent and may have pumped their brakes a little bit, but they quickly gathered themselves and finished strong. But altogether, they were really focused, really driven, and didn't get complacent at all. And they looked really strong going into this game against LSU. They were all definitely waiting to see. And I was really excited to see Tua put up monster stats again. Now, me personally, I probably would have played him less. I was even questioning in the second quarter why he was still in, and I was pretty nervous while I was questioning that just because of the knee situation, and I didn't want to see anything happen to the man. But, again, put up solid numbers, which is definitely going to add to his plea for the Heisman Trophy.
Has Tua's tenacity been tested? Do you think, wow, this guy is the real deal? He's not playing it safe. He's risky. Wants to go all the way. How do you see his attitude or see his demeanor, you know, after this game?
You know, his demeanor has been one of confidence and just passion every time he takes a snap. And it's not just in this game. It's been every game. And just to ask it, well, has that changed or gotten better with it being this point in the season? No, it has increased, but it's always been there. It's something you've never had to pull out of him, something you've never had to ask him to do. He has just played with a passion and a fire every time he has come on the field. Even last year when he was coming in and mop-up duty to the title game where he came in and played like he was a seasoned veteran and never has skipped a beat since. I think his resolve is just very impressive, especially to only be a sophomore. And I don't see that wavering. I think he's going to play in the same intensity against LSU that he's always played with. I think that as a leader, he has really brought that team to a whole nother level. He's got everybody around him to buy in. People are wanting to play for him and just wanting to give 150% every play, no matter what the position is. You can't ask for better from a guy. And this is a guy that's also making every player around him better. They want to play for him. They are responding to him, and they want to win. And I think that's only going to increase as we go forward.
Would you say that he's Heisman worthy?
How could you not? How could anyone argue that? I definitely think so. He might not have the passing yards that some other quarterbacks in the country might be boasting right now, but let me go back to the fact the man's only playing 2.5 quarters. If that, he has yet to play an entire game. If he played 4 quarters, you probably see him close to 3,000 yards right now, without question. But what this guy is doing right now and the time he is playing, there is hardly anybody in college football at the quarterback position that can boast the same thing, even highly touted draft picks at other schools.
Which is probably the amazing situation he has with the backup, I think, which is why Nick Saban was very confident that, hey, I can start 2 out. And he'll only play a half because we'll be winning by the halftime. That's something that I've seen that, you know, there's some, I mean, when was the last time Alabama had a great backup quarterback?
You really have to just really look down in the history books. I mean, really spend some time studying to try to find the answer to that question. Some argue as recent as Greg McElroy with A.J. McCarron behind him, because A.J. McCarron turned out to be one of the better quarterbacks in Alabama history, pre-Tua Tagovailoa, of course. But to have a quarterback tandem like they have now, it's unheard of. How many teams in the history of college football can boast a quarterback situation like the one you're seeing right now at Alabama, where either guy can come in and the team doesn't skip a beat, and with either guy leading that team, they're national title contenders.
Alabama, the story is still being written with 2 out. We'll preview the LSU game next week. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good. Just a couple of things of note. LSU did really look dominant against Mississippi State. Kind of question if whether or not they were going to come in a little flat from their victory over Georgia, and if they're looking ahead. But they were able to dominate Mississippi State, really not on the scoreboard, but they were able to do what they had to do. It was pretty amazing to watch, to see what they did to Nick Fitzgerald. They only held him to 59 yards passing, and amazing, and I had to look at this twice, amazing quarterback rating of 9.8. Wow.
That's pretty good.
One thing of note, that's phenomenal.
That's unheard of.
It is unheard of. I bet Mississippi State wishes it was unheard of. One thing that is drawing a lot of noise right now, All-American linebacker Devin White has been suspended for the first half of the Alabama game because of a targeting penalty that many are questioning the validity of that. And how that will affect the Tigers in the first half against Alabama remains to be seen. They definitely have a strong defense across the board. They can are certainly capable of picking up the slack. I mean, they got Grant Dilfit as well as Jacob Phillips that had a phenomenal game, along with Devin White. All three of them had 10 tackles. They're pretty good, not to mention that you got Greedy Williams waiting in the secondary to wreak havoc against passers and receivers. But don't want to go into too much detail about LSU. Want to save that till next week. But this is definitely building up to be the title game of the midseason. And it's definitely going to give us a good look as to the shape of the college football playoff picture.
Yes, and we'll see if Alabama is really the real deal. I would think this is their true first real test. People thought Texas A&M was, but I think, anyways, we'll discuss this game next week. We'll have a full hour. How about that?
Nah, looking forward to it, man.
Let's cover, okay, real quick, were you surprised Oregon lost to Washington State?
I wasn't surprised I thought the possibility was there. Oregon came off a big win, and Washington State is just one of those tricky teams that can always sneak up and beat somebody. But also, they're a pretty good team across the board. They've only lost one game this season. They are fighting for control of the Pac-12 in their division. And they're not a pushover at all. Now, the score that we saw, I was surprised about that. For the majority of the first half, they just dominated Oregon. Was not expecting that. Oregon in the second half were able to collect themselves, and they appeared to be mounting a good comeback, but fell short with Washington State pulling away and still winning quite convincingly. I was not expecting that. I thought Oregon would have some trouble and could lose, but didn't think they would lose.
And, of course, were you surprised with Purdue defeating Ohio State?
Oh, my gosh. I think we all were. but the thing is, Ohio State are doing Ohio State things. I mean, it was just a year ago that they did the exact same thing, I believe, against Iowa, where they just got completely obliterated by a team they had no business losing to, and what ultimately cost them a shot for the college football playoff. So here we are again, same story, different Ohio State team, and their college football playoff hopes are becoming very dark right now. This is something I didn't foresee at all. I thought Purdue was a talented team. They're definitely playing inspired, especially for the young man who is battling with cancer, I believe. Went out there and won that game for him. Did not expect them to win by, 29 points? But nonetheless, it happened, and now it's really shaking things up for the Big Ten.
Which I'll read you the 10, like top 10 in the AP poll. First is Alabama, 2 Clemson, 3 Notre Dame, 4 LSU, 5 Michigan, 6 Texas, then Georgia, Oklahoma, Florida, and UCF staying at number 10 undefeated. How do you see the top 10?
I would argue for LSU to be number two. Wow. I got to be quite honest with you on that.
Why is that?
No one has the resume that the LSU has. No one has beaten as many top 10 teams and top 25 teams as a whole in back-to-back weeks than LSU. Matter of fact, no one has played that many ranked teams yet, especially in the top five.
And
so how can you argue that they shouldn't be number two?
Which, are you saying Clemson is a weak team, or do you think the ACC and Clemson are a weak conference?
I think the Clemson is an SEC team and a mid-major conference right now. Because the ACC is just not got anything that resembles strength whatsoever this year, which is very surprising. They look pretty strong coming in this year, and it's been nothing but disappointing. Now, Clemson is still a great team, and they're just, unfortunately for them, they're just in a really bad conference right now, and they really can't afford a loss. If they are to lose, it's just going to be hard for them to get back in that college football playoff race, because they're not going to play anybody that's going to be ranked high enough or ranked period the rest of the way that could give them a good argument as to why they should get in the playoff. But Clemson's a very good team. They're a great team. How great? We won't know until the college football playoff, you know, if they do make it. But I think the LSU is playing better than them right now.
You think if they win out, they'll be handed a pass in the to the college playoffs?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they win out, I mean, there's no way that they don't just walk in. I mean, that means they'll remain number two, and they'll be right there. Now, if they take a loss, then it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad.
Do you think if whatever happens with Alabama and LSU next week, do you think those two teams can stay in the top four?
Well, absolutely. You got two of the best teams in the nation going head-to-head, and I think if Alabama unfortunately should lose, it doesn't take them out of the playoff hunt at all. I mean, they're still in the race.
They're still in it.
Now, LSU on the other side. LSU, on the other hand, they can't afford that loss because they'll have two conference losses, and that will propel Alabama back to the SEC championship race, even them winning head-to-head. But LSU still has got a tough road ahead. They got to play Alabama, and they got to play Texas A&M. Matter of fact, Texas A&M is quietly not too bad and could quietly represent the West in the SEC championship if things fall their way. You could see Alabama losing this game potentially and winning out, still being in the top four, LSU winning out, going to the SEC championship, and both LSU and Alabama getting to the college football playoffs.
I still think if LSU loses, they might drop to fourth or fifth.
Yeah, I don't see them doing a tremendous drop. There's really no way you can do that. I mean, even if they get beat convincingly, I'll be hard-pressed to say that's going to happen, but let's just go with hypothetical. I don't see them taking just a tumultuous drop. It wouldn't make sense. Any voters that did that will be crazy. And I still think their resume is strong enough to keep them ranked in the top five.
Obviously, this is the AP poll. This might be, you know, totally different when the BCS polls. I mean, the college football playoff poll comes out in a couple of weeks. So this could be completely different when the official poll comes out. But to be honest, Justin, even if LSU has two losses overall, I think they could still squeak in.
Oh, they absolutely can, because if they still go to the SEC championship and they win the SEC championship, they're going to go. I'm sorry, 9-2 LSU team is a lot better than some of these one-loss teams that are up there, or even no-loss teams up there. And I got to say, a 9-2 LSU team is a heck of a lot impressive than Notre Dame.
Or a undefeated Clemson.
Because Clemson doesn't have the resume LSU has. And not taking anything away from Clemson, but this, I mean, the facts speak for themselves. I mean, you're talking about playing how many top 25 teams, how many top 10 teams in one season, which will also include another one in the SEC championship game with a possible victory. Yeah, they're in.
You're in it, which I still believe. I think the championship games should have a lot of weight, no matter what your record is, to enter the college football playoffs.
Well, absolutely. Especially in the SEC
Power Five, and then I guess the last 2 week conferences. I guess that's what it comes down to opinion.
Right, I mean, because you're going to get in debate with the Pac-12. I mean, I don't think the Pac-12 can get into the playoff this year. It's just going to be hard for them to. I could be wrong. I think there may be further chaos in the Big Ten. I think it's going to be hard for a Big Ten team to squeeze in unless there's some losses at the top that happen that we don't foresee happening.
What I'm what I'm saying is SEC, ACC, and the Big Ten, whoever wins those championship games, those conference championship games, go to the playoffs. Then the winner between the Pac-12 and the Big 12, they have to decide between the two for that last spot.
That's going to be an incredible thing to watch because – I think there's going to be a huge debate between the Big 12 and would you say the Pac-12?
Yeah, Pac-12.
Yeah, on who gets in, just because of what's happening in both conferences right now.
Or who has a better record the two.
Right, but I really don't think the winner of either one of those conferences really is impressive enough than some of these other teams out there.
I agree because, potentially, which has happened in the past couple of years, two SEC teams are legitimate to be in the college football playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's because you're looking at a possibility of Alabama and LSU getting in, if things play out a certain way. You've got three SEC teams right now that could win the West. You've got three SEC teams right now that could win the East.
Right.
Which two of those teams are going to battle it out for a position this coming weekend. The SEC East and West are top heavy right now, and it could legitimately put two teams in the playoffs.
We got a comment from Chris Fry from Periscope, and he says, unfortunately, if Bama loses on the third, they'll still get in. Such bias. If LSU wins Bama, Bama will still get in.
I don't see what bias there is. I mean, if Alabama just has one loss in arguably the best conference in the nation and still remains in the top five, top four, It's hard to argue that. It's really hard to try to form a case against them when you look at some of these other teams out there not playing a tough schedule either.
Which I have to say even though all these a couple of those weak games Alabama has played, but I mean they've been impressive. Yeah, but the score margins are just unbelievable.
Well, that's another thing. They're not just, barely getting by. They're not ugly wins. They're winning, and they're winning by a huge margin. I mean, they're averaging 50-plus points a game. Regardless of who you play, it's hard to do that week in and week out.
Also, another comment, Chris Fry says, if we beat Bama, which is LSU, he's saying, they will get in and sit at home during the conference game and get rest. How is that not bias?
Well, I mean, it's not exactly bias when you're still regarded as one of the best teams in the nation and still would be undoubtedly ranked in the top five, top four at that point. I mean, there's really no argument to keep them out. I mean, who else right now, other than LSU, is playing as impressive?
No one else. Everyone thought Georgia was, but I mean, that didn't really pan out.
No, I believe Georgia is kind of underachieving. I mean, they're winning, but they're not just dominating.
But yeah, which you know, Chris does bring a huge point. You know, if LSU wins and then wins out, they go to the conference game, and Alabama has an easy bye week.
Well, yeah, easy bye week. But the thing is, you know, I don't know what the complaint is. If LSU wins and wins the SEC championship, they'll be the number one team in the conference, the number one team in the playoffs. And Alabama will be a four seed.
Yeah.
So, and then you get to play
each other
again.
Yeah.
Yeah. They more than likely go and play each other. So, you know, and then that'll be decided that way. So I don't see a problem with that.
Well, anyways, let's go into two game predictions. Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Clemson at FSU.
If it was 2 years ago, this might actually be worth talking about, to be honest with you. barring some freak accident or just some one of those little college football weird game situations where the weaker team shows up happening, I don't see Clemson even entertaining these guys for too long. I mean, I think FSU is starting to play a lot better, but no, they can't hang with Clemson. Do they have talent to do that? Yes. Do they have the mentality and the resolve to do it right now? No. I just don't think that it's going to happen.
Do you think there'll be no upset?
Matter of fact, no. To put things in perspective, this used to be a primetime ABC game. This is an 11 a.m. game. What does that tell you?
Okay, another comment. What did you think of the targeting call?
Well, which one is that?
I don't know. I was hoping you might
know.
You talking about the
targeting call that's putting Devin White out, or are you talking about the targeting no call on Mac Wilson?
That's a good question. Did it happen to Alabama that this past week?
Well, yeah. I mean, Alabama, when Mac Wilson took out Garantano, the hit itself was being debated on whether or not it was should have been targeting. It ultimately was not ruled targeting. It was a clean hit.
Oh no! He means like the guy from LSU, Devin White.
Oh, okay. No, that was not targeting. I'm just going to say it right now. It looked like a clean hit. He wasn't driving with his head. Matter of fact, if you look at the replay, his head was up. I just think it was a clean, just nasty, old college football hit. I saw no reason to call that play. That might not play. I don't see any reason to call that penalty.
Okay, yeah, you're right, Devin Push Fitzgerald, you're right. Okay, let's move on. Florida at Georgia.
Man, this is the battle for the East, the battle to go to the SEC title game, and also the battle to possibly get in the college football playoff. Easily the biggest game of the weekend. This is going to be a close one to call. This is going to be a rivalry game. The largest outdoor cocktail party is what it's dubbed as, for those of you who don't follow the SEC or Florida or Georgia football for that matter. But definitely going to be one to watch on CBS. So many things on the line for both teams. This is a bounce back game for Georgia, and this is this may be the wake up game that they need. And it's like similar to last year, but looking at both teams down the line, I think one Georgian fans are starting to get a little anxious about Jake Fromm. I honestly believe at this point, while he's not necessarily doing a bad job, but he really hasn't risen to that next level, that superstar quarterback, that guy that the legends are formed about, that guy that whoever the famous painter is for Georgia moments in history is that paints about. I think that the Georgia fans would see it, like to see a little bit more than what they're getting from Jake Fromm. Matter of fact, you got a little bit of them who are clamoring for Justin Fields. But I think Georgia's strength right now is in their backfield with Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Swift, probably two of some of the best running backs in the SEC. The thing about Florida, which makes me hesitate to play them, I still think that Felipe Franks is the X factor. I still have not bought into him. He has 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns with 5 picks, but he just isn't wowing me. He's not some guy who's going to take over a game and just wow us, you know? I know that's kind of repetitive, but you get
doesn't blow
point.
You away.
I think their real strength is the running game, the duo of Jordan Scarlett and Piran. I think they're the strength, and I think they pick up a lot of the slack that Franks leaves out there. But Florida's bread and butter, other than that running game, is their defense. They've got a really strong defensive front, pretty good, pretty solid across the board. But I got to tell you, man, the edge is going to Georgia. I think Florida's good. I think they're back in contention for the SEC, but I don't think they're Florida back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think Georgia's going to win this one.
I know why you're picking Georgia, because you know if Florida goes all the way, they could be a spoiler for Alabama. I know exactly what you're trying to do here.
I'm not worried about playing Florida if we were to play them.
Penn State at Iowa.
Sorry, Ryan Krista.
Penn State at Iowa.
Good game for the Big Ten. Iowa is quietly 6-1 right now. Got a pretty good quarterback in Nate Stanley. He's got 16 touchdowns, only 6 picks. Got a really strong defense where Penn State is doing well. McSorley is not having the big year that many were predicting him to have, kind of having a so-so year. The real strength of that team is in their running back, Miles Sanders, you know, 772 yards rushing. This is a big game for Iowa. They've got to win this game and then also, you know, beat Wisconsin to win their division in the Big Ten. My question is Iowa ready to rise to the challenge?
Ooh.
And to be honest with you, I think they are. I just think they're very balanced, and they've got a good defense, and I think they're going to give McSorley and Sanders fits. So I like Iowa in a close one.
Iowa wins. Okay, back at the Georgia game, people from the comments are saying Georgia is going to actually use their running game.
Gosh, I hope so, because that's their strength right now. I mean, how can you not with DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield? My gosh, those guys are beasts back there, especially on DeAndre, man. You can put him anywhere on the field at any time, and the man's going to move the ball for you and do sick things. So, yeah, definitely capitalize on your strengths there. And don't put the ball ultimately in Fromm's hands to win, because, like I said, he's really not elevating his game. If he's going to do it, this is the game he needs to do it in.
Now, next game, Washington State at Stanford. Will Washington State continue their role?
Man, I want to say they are, but really, to be honest with you, I don't think that they're going to be able to. I think the Stanford's too physical of a team for Washington, and Bryce Love is still one of the best backs in the nation. And I really don't think that Washington State, has it within them to follow up a big emotional win against a good team like Stanford. I don't see it right now. So I think Stanford's got that game.
Stanford, number 24, defeats Washington State. Their streak ends right there. And finally, Oregon at Arizona.
I think Oregon bounces back in this game. I think they collect themselves and against the Arizona team that just really is disappointing this year. We really were expecting a whole lot better coming into this season, but they're not doing what any of us thought or even near that. And Oregon is just too good, and I think that they probably got their feelings hurt a little bit last week, so I think they're going to come out a little PO'd. So I feel that Oregon's, for lack of a better term, I think Oregon's got this.
And should Justin Herbert go into the NFL draft next year?
What's that now?
Should Justin Herbert go to the NFL draft next year?
Yeah, I really do think he needs to. I mean, this quarterback draft class isn't as strong. I think he's the number one quarterback. He's probably going to be on the board. And I think if he stays, he's going to come into a tougher situation next year when some of the talent's going to be possibly coming out, especially if Tagovailoa decides to come out early. I think he may possibly lose money by staying.
You're right.
It's up to him. It's his decision. But, there's a lot of quarterbacks who do the same thing he's doing right now and ends up costing them dearly. So, I think the time is now.
I would cash in myself. I totally agree. I think a lot of scouts are looking at him. He's legitimate. And if he can make the top 10, he'll have a great, great contract going on. And also, one of the people are asking, who do you got between Texas and Oklahoma State?
Man, I want to see Texas continue to do what they're doing, man. I think college football is better with Texas being good. I think Oklahoma State is kind of a tricky upstart team. And this is going to be a good test for Texas to really help us to see just how far along they are. And was that Oklahoma game just a fluke? This is a telltale game for Texas. I really want to see Texas win. I think they are the team that needs to win the Big 12. I think it's great. So I want to pull for Texas. So I'm going to go with them for this game.
I mean, I really want to see a Texas-Alabama game this year.
That would be great, man, to have a rematch to that national championship game we had back in 2009.
That's when it all started.
It did. Love to see it continue. Got wow. Two historic teams playing against each other. That's great for college football.
For ratings, for advertisers, everyone. For us, for the sports cast. Big game this weekend. Big game this weekend between Georgia and Florida. I think they're playing in Jacksonville, right?
Right. That's where they always play this game. And I'm hoping this game does not disappoint. Like I said, three teams right now are in the running for the SEC East title. And one of those teams is going to be a move from the equation this weekend. Who's it going to be? And the winner... if Georgia wins, they got to play perennial powerhouse Kentucky and beat Kentucky to go as well. Now, if Florida wins, they got to hope Kentucky drops one. If not, man, we're going to have the Wildcats playing in the SEC football championship, not basketball. How's that for some irony?
Everyone is saying thank you for picking Texas over Oklahoma State.
No problem at all. To be honest with you, I really don't care much for Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State or Mike Gundy, to be honest with you. Especially after that little grown man tirade he put on national television about, I'm grown man, I'm 40. Okay, you're also, never mind, I'll stop there.
You know which is interesting, like, with the sports guys, even though you love Alabama and you're focused on the SEC, you are aware of your surroundings. You know what's going on in other conferences and obviously in the SEC East, because that could be have some distance as well. But I'm really proud of you that you know your Pac-12 stuff and your Big 12.
Well, I mean, you got to have credibility about college football as a whole. You got to have, you know, a keen eye on everything that's going on around you, because, I mean, it all affects you. And plus, it makes for a very boring telecast if I just sat there and talked about the greatness of Alabama. While it is great, but nobody's going to want to sit there and just, you know, listen about all the Alabama football. They want to know that, you know, the people on here know college football as a whole, and they are aware of implications other teams may have on my team going in and the possible the ramifications of what it means, just the football as a whole. So definitely got to be well-rounded, man. While I love to talk Alabama football, I got to be able to make it interesting by talking about the other teams.
I am as well, even though I watch a lot of soccer, football, but I got to be aware of my surroundings. That's why I watch a lot of SportsCenter in the morning, but things like that. Justin, how can people reach you if any sports questions, any disagreement, any type of criticism, or any type of compliment? Where can people reach you?
Did you say a compliment? I would love to have some compliments sent to me.
People are saying, man, thank you for peaking Texas.
I have a fan following. Hey, people who love that, man, I want you to contact me. I want some love here. I want a following. Can we start a 12-1 training following, a Justin fan club? That would be freaking amazing. I mean, I'm being honest with y'all. I want to see that happen. Matter of fact, I want somebody to contact me in these three forms of social media I'm about to provide, or email, after we get through this sportscast. You can email me. You ready for this? 12-1 training. That's the number 12, one spelled out, training, @gmail.com. You can talk about sports. You can talk about how crazy I am as an Alabama fan and how nuts I am. Or you can ask about fitness questions, or just, you know, say, hey, what's up? Also reach me on social media, Facebook, /12-1 training. A lot of great content on personal training, fitness, powerlifting, and just health-related material as a whole. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @12-1training. A lot more activity going on Instagram. I use Twitter a lot throughout the week to talk about workout tips, some did-you-know type information. Commentate during Alabama games live on Twitter. Instagram, I'm posting a lot of content promoting my personal training business. But, yeah, please, I would love to have some follows. Love to have some follows increase after this telecast. I would definitely love to hear your comments, your questions, and general love. So
yes,
come on, let's go.
Yes, and also, you know, for any health or if you need a fitness plan or an exercise plan, talk to Justin. He'll take care of you very much. And you can reach us. Please follow us on Periscope. Hit the follow, the notification. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit the notification so you'll see it live. And also subscribe on iTunes. Please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And the very last question, do you prefer ribs or wings?
Yes.
Both?
I mean, I'm a fat boy at heart, and I want them both.
There you have it. You go for both. We told the waiter, no, good, no, just give me both. With some curly fries.
No, if I had to pick, it seems like, you know, I'll go with the question. You got to go with ribs. I'm a man about some meat and some protein, and that's got the most meat content. So put them in front of me, I'll tear them up. Especially if they're Dreamland ribs, shameless plug, located about 2 miles from Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa. Also, too, if you can't follow me on Twitter this weekend and you want to keep up with Alabama football, download Santiago's Alabama Football Radio app.
That's right.
Can't beat that at all.
That's right. If you can't watch it, if you're on the radio, if you have no cable and you're cord cutting, download the radio app. People are just listening while they're walking, while they're jogging, walking their dog. And, you know, I think the radio is actually better than TV because TV gets a little bit boring with the announcers.
Absolutely.
They have. But anyways, Justin, it was a great night. A lot of Texas love, a lot of Georgia love, a lot of Alabama love, a lot of sports love in general. And I'll see you next week for the LSU preview, right?
Now, show me some love by contacting me, people. I'm serious. But, yeah, looking forward to next week, man. Another great show. Enjoyed it.
God bless and roll tide.
Roll tide.